Get some decent care packages delivered right to you when you shop on Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob as a podcast whenever you start your Amazon shopping with our link, robiswebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, it's robiswebsite.com/AmazonCA. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who can't wait to talk about the Ball Smashers. I'm Rob Sestrino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast, OTT edition, here on Friday, talking about the third week of the BBOTT. And here with me to talk about the BBOTT, two members of the Big Brother LFC. First, joining us once again, very excited to talk with him always, the Prince of Creole. Please welcome in Alex Kidwell. Alex, how are you?
What it do, boo? I don't care.
Yeah, that's right. Hold on.
I am King Creole, care. Baby.
Yeah. Don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, do your thing, boo-boo.
Do your thing, boo-boo. Yeah, ready to go. All right, and then also back with us is the man who has all the angles figured out, the leader of the resistance of Big Brother OTT, Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm great, Rob. And it's appropriate that Justin didn't care, given his performance in the HOH competition.
good. He did not care. Hey, look, that is not his cup of tea, that one. You can't dance and move around during that sort of competition. So don't worry about that. Scott's your new HOH here, not Scott St. Pierre, as we go through everything on the BBOTT, the start of week number three here on Rob Has a Podcast. We're going to be taking your questions, hashtag RHAP. Looking forward to getting into everything as we kick off another BBOTT weekend as we get set for who is Scott going to put up on the block? Who's America going to put up on the block? And as we are still mourning the loss of Monty from the Big Brother OTT house, getting your questions in, hashtag RHAP. Also, got some news about the OTT live show that we have coming up on Tuesday, the 25th. And really an all-star cast, right, Alex Kidwell?
Oh, yeah. The stars are coming out, Rob. It's everything's really, really aligning in such a way as I would have never possibly foreseen.
Yes, it's very exciting. We have a lot of people coming out. At this point, who knows who's going to show up on the night of the 25th at the Broadway Comedy Club. Tickets still on sale. robiswebsite.com/BBOTT live. A couple people had asked us, can you come to the show if you are under 21? And we got the answer to that. Yes. Yes, pumpkin, yes. You're allowed to come if you are younger than 21, but if you are younger than 16, you need to bring an adult, Taryn.
Well, that's important. Adults are important. Yeah. So
I don't think anybody that's younger than 16 should come in the first place to this show, because I have a feeling that these things tend to get out of hand. So I think that probably adult supervision certainly is recommended at these live shows.
If you're a really mature 16-year-old,
Still, Crazy James and Gina Marie could be coming.
This thing is likely to get crazy like James, Rob.
Yes. It could get too out of hand. So good. Very excited to be there a week from Tuesday night. robiswebsite.com/BBOTT live. All right, so let's talk through everything from this week. Now, both of you guys were not on the live show that Jordan Parhar did with Brent and Big Meech on Wednesday night. Lots of fun if you want to catch that show. I was watching it live on Wednesday night. So we should get some reactions from both of you guys as we headed into this vote, which could have gone either way, depending on the will of America. But as we suspected, America voted to send Monty out of the house. Taryn, reactions to Monty being the second person voted out of OTT?
I mean, it seemed pretty inevitable, but I feel like we gave it a good try. The vote was actually very close. And what was interesting to me was,
how do you know? Well,
given all the polls out there, all of the, like some of the polls had
exit polling.
Some of the polls had Danielle ahead and some of them had Monty ahead, and those that had Monty ahead were still pretty close within a pretty decent margin. So really there was a big campaign to get Morgan on the block earlier in the week. And if Morgan had been up on the block, if she had been next to Danielle, I think Danielle might have gone home there. I think that Morgan has a lot more support than Monty does, and obviously doesn't have all of the controversy surrounding her. So could have gone the other way.
So you're saying that an unlikable female person was able to win the vote because the person that she was up against had higher unlikables? Is that what we're saying in terms of the polling data?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, Danielle at this point, I believe, is like near the bottom of the Joker's rankings.
Okay. One of the most unpopular people to ever be up on the block in this situation, but because that somebody was more unlikable and more unpopular than that person was able to, she was able to come through.
Yeah. Right now she is below Monty in the Joker's rankings. She's second to last, only above Cornbread.
Has Cornbread ever come out of witness protection, Alex?
I don't think I think that's above my clearance, Rob. I don't think I'm qualified to comment on this matter.
We don't know. All right. So then let's turn into the next week of Big Brother. So we had this HOH competition where you had this barcode and you had to see which was the longest plank in the barcode. And ultimately, Scott is going to win. Alex, was this a fun competition to watch play out?
No, not at all. And, you know, as Taryn talked about with Justin, the first HOH competition I've ever seen someone stop and take bathroom breaks and go and like get a snack during.
Yeah. People were smoking cigarettes, right? You get to do whatever you want.
Yeah. This is the most casual competition in Big Brother history, I would argue.
Yeah. I didn't really even follow how exactly were you allowed to buzz in multiple times. It seemed like some people weren't even participating in the challenge. Alex, that it seems like that you really had to be very much dialed in to follow this one.
Yeah, I re-listened to the rules 6 times and then I asked Twitter for clarification.
Opposite of every previous Big Brother competition we've ever had where they explain the rules and then as the competition is going on, also people in the diary room shout the rules at you again.
Well, there was somebody on the announcer, an announcer that was shouting the rules every time they started a new round.
Yes.
So there was at least that.
So that's good.
But yeah, if you're used to Big Brother proper, then you're certainly not. Yeah, proper. You're certainly not getting that here in the way of explanation and over-explanation.
Okay, so Scott ends up being the HOH. Taryn, how huge was it for Scott to be HOH this week?
It was pretty huge. You know, if one of the other side of the house, one of the misfits had won that HOH, America would not be able to do anything about the fact that they would nominate two of the ball crushers.
One of them would...
One of them would be going home. There's nothing that could stop that because they'd have the numbers to do it. So it's an interesting thing that happened. Scott was definitely pulled it out when he needed to.
Yes, absolutely. So good job. Good job by Scott. And so as you mentioned, there's a new alliance in the Big Brother house, the aforementioned
Ball Smashers.
Of the four women of the Ball Smashers. Alex, the Ball Smashers is who?
Ball Smashers. You've got Whitney, you've got Shelby, you've got Alex, and you've got Morgan.
Okay. Boy, I thought those sisters weren't going to work together.
Yeah, well, it's funny how that works, isn't it? You get in there and you're like, oh, these people are pretty intolerable. And at least me and this person go way back and we have like mutual knowledge of each other's intolerability.
Right. So Monty's Pythons is now over without Monty and we have a new alliance. And now is Scott with the Ball Smashers or not?
He's not a ball smasher himself, but like Monty, he is attached to them.
Yes. Well, one of the things I really do love about BBOTT is that Mr. Announcer voiceover guy is really just letting his hair down. This was from the Thursday night recap of what was going on in the house as Scott joined the Ball Smashers. Here comes Scott.
Later, they were joined by their Virgin King.
What? Why are we referring to Scott as the Virgin King of the Ball Smashers, Alex?
All hail the Virgin King, here he comes, that's a thing. Yeah, I got nothing, Rob.
Later, they were joined by their Virgin King.
The Virgin King? Wow. Yeah, move over, all other Big Brother virgins.
Right. I mean, I'm sorry, Scott, but I feel like Jason is still the best Big Brother virgin.
Yeah. Well, no, Scott is the Virgin King. Now, is he the Virgin King of only the ball smashers, or is he the Virgin King of all virgins?
I mean, I think Virgin King implies that he's the king of all virgins, right? Like, otherwise, no, they call him the ball smasher king. No.
Yes.
Someday all of this will be yours.
Someday all of this abstinence will be yours.
Yeah. We need someone who's like big, like Shane or Justin in the house to hold him up and, you know, anoint him with oils or something.
Yes.
Later, they were joined by their Virgin King.
Yeah, I just can't wait to be the Virgin King, Scott. You know who's not the Virgin King is Shane.
No, might be the king, but he's certainly not the first thing.
Yeah, well, that's
okay.
Right.
Maybe we figured it out. Maybe Shane was the Virgin King, and then it got passed on to Scott a couple nights ago.
I don't know.
You're no longer fit to wear the crown.
Yeah, and, the announcer guy, he was right on top of this one as well. This is him calling. He's like Vin Scully calling the Shane and Danielle under the sheets.
Shane and Danielle went over the top under the cover.
Oh yeah. Send them mood.
Yeah. Boy, the announcer guy, I think, is way too into Shane and Danielle. This is on the heels of last week of Shane gave Danielle the ride of her life.
He was really trying to make it happen. It's like, if I say it, it'll happen, right?
Really rubbing it in the nose of Scott.
Later, they were joined by their Virgin King.
No, not Shane and Danielle. That is not true.
It's really wild how much they think the hot and heavy Shane and Danielle stuff is like a selling point of the show. Like this is an online show. But they know people can just click over to porn, right? It's not that hard.
It's the thumbnail of a lot of stuff also. Like when the other day when it was the Shane gave Danielle the lap dance, that was the thumbnail of the day recap of the Shane giving Danielle the ride of her life. Yeah.
Shane and Danielle went over the top under the covers.
Yeah, look, you know, anyone can watch porn at any time, but you can't watch two people from Big Brother, you know, doing some stuff under the sheets. Like those are people, you know, that's some classy stuff right there. Yeah. That's advertisable.
Yeah. Boy, it's getting so hot over on BBOTT. Even Ken Bone is checking it out now at this point, Alex. He's posting in the Big Brother subreddit on this.
They're so beautiful. Yeah.
I'm not sure yet what I'm watching, but I like what I'm seeing.
He's into it. All right. So back to the ball smashers, Taryn. So what is their plan for this week?
Well, initially, they had one plan, and the care package sort of changed that. But initially, their plan was to nominate Shane and Danielle. And just basically
Shane
do the same
and
thing.
Danielle went over the top under the covers.
America's keeping them.
Yeah. That nomination.
They're really anti over the top under the covers, and they wanted to make sure it didn't happen again. So they wanted to just do the same thing they did last week and try it again. Hopefully it works this time. However, the care package came into play, and the care package is this veto care package where you have to decide between one of three vetoes. One is the diamond power veto where the veto winner chooses the replacement. Another is the boomerang veto where one person that wins the veto gets to take two people off the block. And then the double veto where there's two vetoes and two winners of each veto.
But correct me if I'm wrong with this veto, because this seems like the most asinine thing that it's not awarded to Scott. It's not like that he opens some sort of attaché case with three vetoes and he gets to pick which one he wants. He gets to pick what the house is playing for, correct?
Yes. But it is important though, because the types of veto matter a lot to the nominations and the votes. Because basically, you know, the diamond power of veto takes away his power. It lets somebody else put somebody on the block in addition to America, who is already putting somebody else on the block. Mm-hmm. The the boomerang veto is something that also benefits the nominated side, because just one person can win it and then two people can be off the block. And now he has to nominate two new people. Whereas the double veto benefits his side, especially if this was a situation where America wasn't on his side and they were going to put up one of his allies, this would be largely beneficial to him, because they'd have two shots at winning the veto and taking down America's nomination, ensuring that the other side would lose a member finally.
So the double veto is that one person gets to take down two people and he gets to name two replacement nominees.
That's the boomerang veto. The double veto is that there's two vetoes and two of the players will win the veto, each veto.
So Alex,
first and second in the competition will each receive a normal veto in the double veto situation. And I think what's really, what's interesting here is that you've got the other side, I think, fundamentally missing why this is kind of important. Like Chrissy and Neely, immediate reaction was like, oh, good. Like, this doesn't matter. This is more proof like America's on our side, because this is something that doesn't matter one way or another, because they don't see how it really helps Scott. But really what it does is, you know, keeping it from that side is what makes it so huge. It's not really about the fact that Scott got it. It's about the fact that none of the Misfits side did.
So, Taryn, where is TVK leaning with this decision?
It took me a second.
Later, they were joined by their virgin king.
But initially, again, he had an initial plan, which was, I want to do the Diamond Power veto. It won't put more blood on my hands. I won't have to nominate like five new people.
By the way, however, has the Diamond Power of veto been fixed since Matt Hoffman broke it? Alex, do we know? Did they crazy glue it back together?
I'd like to think they've like revisited whatever mine they got those diamonds from and tried to, you know, maybe cut out a sturdier batch this time.
Get out the craggle, not the crackle. Okay. Sorry, Taryn.
After thinking about it, he realized, if I choose the Diamond Power veto and one of the Misfits win it, then they can put up Alex and Alex might go home, and I would be devastated if Alex went home on my HOH. He said that about 15 times. So instead, he went with the much smarter move, which is, I'm going to do the double veto. And that's when he also changed his nomination plans. So he's going to put up two pawns in Chrissy and Neely, and then do the double veto, and ideally take both of them off and replace them both with Shane or Danielle, or if one of their side gets nominated, they'll have to use it on whoever gets nominated and then use the other one to nominate either Shane or Danielle.
Okay, so the double veto is two vetoes can be won in this competition, like first and second place, or the winner is going to get two vetoes?
First and second first place thing. Will both get vetoes.
Okay, all right. So, they could both be used.
Yep.
Both. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Two people can win one.
Like normal vetoes in both cases.
One person cannot win both the vetoes?
No.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. So, and this will all play out much later in the week. We still have to get through nominations, and we don't even play the veto, what, until Monday, Alex, or is it Sunday?
Yeah, Monday, because you have like the really extended double safety ceremony thing that eats the weekend.
Right. It's sort of like we just can't have anything important going on over the weekend.
Yeah. Well, you know, there may be reasons for it that, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
CBS has to do what they do.
Just seems like, not a lot of people work in the weekend.
Yeah, well, you know, people got things to do. It's LA.
Okay.
You got a football team out there now, Rob.
Yeah, not a big deal.
What do you want?
Now, are there the live diary rooms tonight, Taryn?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, I was watching those last Friday night. Those were, I was switching back and forth between cable news and the live diary rooms last Friday night. Very fun.
Yeah, they're still great. I feel like as the players get more experienced with them, they're using them more and more just to like to pander to America and less to explain their strategy, which is unfortunate, but they're still really great to watch. So hopefully we get more of the good stuff and less of the bad.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So then let's keep talking through everything else from the fallout from last week. That Alex, was there a lot of fallout about Chrissy going up on the block after Alex had promised her safety last week?
Yes, definitely. Chrissy and Neely, they were the most upset. Neely was really upset. I didn't really understand, to be honest, why Neely was so upset.
Because she doesn't have the right.
Right. Well, it's, you know, I just, you know, it was, you know, obviously I get like, you know, Alex had made a deal, but then she had to go back on the deal. And yeah, she probably shouldn't have made the deal in the first place. But the circumstances kept, you know, weighing against her more and more heavily. And at a point, you just kind of have to do what you have to do. And, you know, they're mad that, you know, their anger really stemmed from a place of like, she should have nominated someone who honestly, like, in any case, would have been a number for her side. So it really wasn't too easy to justify from an outsider perspective for me.
Mm-hmm. Alex, I'm sorry, Taryn, did you feel like that Alex in her nominating Chrissy ended up making a very bad move?
No, I mean, there wasn't really any other choice. And I feel like a large part of why the Misfits were angry was because they were close enough with Alex. They felt like they had enough rapport that they felt like they would be able to trick her into nominating Scott. And they were mad that they didn't get what they wanted, basically. And I mean, there was no other option for Alex. Putting up Scott would have been a terrible move.
Mm-hmm. And then in terms of the interview that Monty did with Julie Chen, any big takeaways for you, Taryn?
He was very surprised that Morgan and Alex are sisters. He talked a lot about his strong character and how he's a leader. Basically what we've seen from Monty in the last 2 weeks. So I don't know. Nothing too surprising for me.
Yeah. Alex, any other takeaways about Monty officially writing the eulogy for Big Brother Monty? Monty Massengill.
I don't think he knows what he's stepping into when he gets outside of the house, unfortunately for him. I think the interview for me was just more evidence that this is someone who just was much more of an ignorant kind of, you know, unaware soul than a malicious, vindictive one.
He was not bred for this?
He was certainly not bred for this. He wasn't cornbread for this. He wasn't even matzah for this.
Okay. All right. Let's shift gears into Cracklegate, Taryn. Could you explain this to our listeners?
Okay. So Jason, it was mostly Jason was, you know, he's been annoyed at Shelby, and Shelby really likes the crackles. And I think there's stuff happening right now with the crackles. Actually, it was good timing.
But why do they have so many crackle candy bars, which in my opinion is the poor man's Nestle's Crunch? Is it for trick-or-treaters, or they just have a stash in case there any trick-or-treaters come by the Big Brother house or Big Jack?
Well, when they get the bag of chocolate, it's a mixed bag, and crackle happens to be Shelby's favorite. Okay. So they isolate out the crackle.
Are they regular size crackle? Do they even make a regular size crackle? Or are they fun size?
No, regular size.
Regular size crackle bars. I didn't even know this was a thing.
And you're right. No, I haven't seen those very often. Maybe I always thought, like, if you're going to see that, you had to go to one of those, like, really deluxe sheets somewhere that's, like, huge with the, you know, okay, big market inside.
So am I the only person that's never heard of a crackle before this?
I like crackle.
Yeah. Are you a crackle virgin, Taryn?
Well, yeah. I mean,
were joined by their virgin king.
Crackle.
Assuming it's chocolate.
Okay, so, all right. So we have a big bag of crackles that is just for Shelby. Is it a trash bag of crackles, Taryn?
No, but Jason should have done that
route. Yeah.
Okay,
bagging them up,
right?
Bag
them
and tag them.
Yeah,
but basically, Jason he picked out the crackles. He took them and he heard them. He heard them. He hid them.
Well, you hear them when you eat them. That's why they call it crackle.
Okay, so he hid them, and when Shelby found out, she was not happy, but Shelby and Morgan recently found the crackles and recovered them. And so they got the crackles back. And apparently just now on the feeds, Jason has finally figured out that they refound the crackles and they took them back.
Battle rages on.
Yeah. Now, Alex, this is a fine line between pranks and war in the Big Brother house. Is there any way for Jason to spin this as sort of like a James, Bazinga prank move?
Not really, but luckily this is Big Brother Over the Top and he doesn't have to. He can just be like, cause screw you, hooker. And like, you know, that's fine. Like, you know, what's the worst that's going to happen?
Yeah. I mean, is it just like, ha, 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 hey, where are my candy bars? Or are people getting legitimately mad about this, Alex?
I mean, no, they, well, here's the thing. When they were hidden, it was talked about and laughed about, like, ha, 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 isn't this great? She's going to be so pissed. And then kind of when it was found, it was like, really? Oh, there they are. Like, it wasn't as big of a deal as I think they might have hoped it was.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If that makes sense.
All right, Taryn. So that, do you think that there will be a lot of fallout from Cracklegate now that they are missing again?
Well, I don't know. I feel like, I like, what's your move here? If you're Jason, you found that they've found them and taken them back. Like what do you just search for them and try to steal them back again? I guess that's the only move.
You could eat the crackle.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know why you don't just destroy the evidence, right? I mean, what crackle? What are you talking about? Yeah. I've not seen crackle in this house this entire time.
All right, so we'll see. Is this product placement by Crackle to try to get some more crackles sold for the Halloween season, Taryn?
They paid Jason off. That's why he had to invent this whole feud with Shelby just so he could steal the crackles and get his crackle money.
Yeah. They should be paying somebody.
He already works in the grocery store. He already has the connections to the chocolate distributor.
Big crackle, man.
Inside job. Okay.
Yeah, big Nestle getting their sticky fingers involved in this season as well as so many things.
Yeah, that's right. All right. So then we have America's nomination coming up. Now, you guys were going back and forth on Twitter talking about who America ought to nominate this week. And you guys are currently in disagreement. So, Taryn, why don't you make the case that who will your meme maker be encouraging people to vote for this week?
Well, Alex and I aren't in disagreement. It's the people that don't like math that are in disagreement with us. Alex and I both will be endorsing Danielle, and so will my meme maker. We'll get him on the case as soon as possible. If you want to get one of the showmans out, putting Danielle on the block is the makes for the best odds to get one of them out, even though it means she's playing in the veto because for various reasons, but because the odds of her or Shane getting picked in the veto and then winning it, as well as a Plastics member winning it and taking Shelby off the block, meaning Shane and Danielle will be safe, are greater than the odds of Shane getting picked and winning it and taking Danielle off the block.
Okay, so since you two are both in agreement, Alex, let me play devil's advocate. If you're anti-showmans, why is it Danielle that has to go home and not Shane?
I don't know necessarily that it is. I think Danielle has caught a lot of extra heat last week and going into this week because more so than Shane, she's someone that has been, I think, letting the fact that all the votes have gone their way get to her head a little bit. And she feels a little bit emboldened by the backing of America through the votes, you know, and it's a powerful element in this game. They don't have much that's influencing them. And so when a vote goes their way and then another vote goes their way, it's hard not to think like America's got my back. Like, this is great. I'm on a roll. And unfortunately, I think it has led her to say some things in the recent days in the last week or two that really have rubbed some people the wrong way as far as, knowing that America has her back.
Now, Taryn, isn't the definition of insanity to keep doing the same thing and expecting different results to put Danielle, all your eggs in the Danielle basket again?
Maybe. But as I mentioned, her popularity has tanked.
Has been waning.
I wouldn't even say waning. I'd say tanked in recent weeks.
Due to what, though?
I think due largely to the fact that she's played up this
are
idea.
Are we promiscuous
that,
behavior shaming or shaning?
Oh, well, that's definitely going
went on. Over the top, under the covers.
Yeah.
But again, you make it a major storyline of the season, you're going to get reactions one way or another.
Why are we taking it out on Danielle and not Shane?
Oh, Shane's. I'm seeing Shane getting plenty of.
Whoa. Hey, family podcast, Alex. Yeah. Easy.
Yeah.
No, well, I will. Shane is right there with Danielle. He's only above Danielle and Cornbread. They're both down there.
Whoa.
And if I was Shane, I'd be under mortified when I get out and watch the footage. That's all I'm going to say.
Under the covers with Cornbread.
Yeah. Now, hold on. Now, remember pregame, though? Wasn't Danielle being like, oh, the person I hate the most is Zakiya. She is terrible. I could never go into this house and get into a showmance. My grandmother is watching this. I am not going to be hooking up with anybody.
Well, to be fair,
and then I follow Alex Kidwell on Twitter, and then he's posting GIFs of God knows what stuff Tim Bone is looking at on Reddit.
To be fair, I quoted another tweet, so like you really had to click in a couple times to see that.
I feel clicking.
Like I gave people a I put a buffer in place, Rob.
Yes. Okay.
and to be fair to Danielle, I don't think she's like Zakiya. I think, you know, Zakiya is probably a better player. So there's at least that going for her.
Shots fired, Taryn.
Zakiya doesn't go out of her way to make herself a target in the first couple of weeks.
How about this? Another typical live feed hater. Why don't you leave Queen Z out of this? Okay.
Not even on this season.
Yeah. Not even on this season.
Oh, I didn't watch your season.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry about it, Taryn. Okay.
Just trying to help her out.
All right. So what will be the case that the meme maker will present?
Well, basically, what we've seen so far is 3 weeks in a row of, or 2 weeks in a row of one side getting HOH and then a number from their side going home. Mm-hmm. And if we continue to see this, it is going to be a pagonging. We are just going to see it continue to happen over and over. And what the argument was last week was, oh no, that's not going to happen. America's going to turn. They're going to stop this from happening. Well, here's your chance. This is the time now. Like this is the last opportunity. Like this is where you said this is where America's going to turn. So here we go. Let's go. Danielle on the block and make sure that one from that side goes home.
Okay. All right.
And
we'll
see. I think that's where some people, like there are some people who disagree with us. And I think a big factor is like a fundamental difference in like, what's the thing you want to see most? I think me and Taryn are really worried about the pagonging. And we like, certainly for me, I think the most important thing, even more than making sure one member of the showmance goes this week, is making sure someone from that side of the house goes. So it continues to be an actual battle here. I think, you know, some people are just above and beyond like Shane and Danielle at all costs, but they're missing that, like in that instance, the worst case scenario is that Shane and Danielle don't get nominated. They both get picked to play, which people are forgetting how few players there are this season. It's not that unlikely that they get picked to play in the veto. Mm-hmm. And if they finish 1 and 2, which they've both shown ability in competitions, then they can like be safe, take down Neely and Chrissy. And now Scott's going to like have to put up an ally. America's going to vote out of plastic. Like that's, or sorry, a ball smasher. That's like the worst case scenario.
Ball smashers.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm voting to avoid worst case.
I do think that you guys are probably just looking at the big picture way too much and are just sort of afraid that there is going to be some logical plan in place from America is going to just keep just hammering away at this same thing. And I am a believer, and maybe I'm more siding with the Brent side of things of that. I think that when it goes enough that like, almost like I don't know what it's called. Like when a river starts to go all the way one way and then there's erosion and then it starts to go all the back that Alex, what's that called? Yeah, you're a scientist.
Come on, man.
Well, I don't understand that argument. Like this, I am representing that swing back, and you're saying that that's wrong.
I think it'll happen naturally. I don't think that you need to worry.
Well, then what are we doing campaigning?
I don't think we need to inorganically say like, oh no, we need to think ahead and we need to pick one off of that side to make it easier. I think that eventually people will be underdogs. People will root for the underdogs, and then I think that the voting will swing back on its own. So I don't think you need to sweat it as much.
I'm not sweating. I'm campaigning. It's fun. Like
Alex, is Taryn sweating it?
No. And to be fair, Taryn did outline the math for me before the show. And even if you're someone that adamantly just wants a member of the showmance to go home, still, it's, you know, the math is close. It's very improbable, but it's still slightly better odds for Danny to be up.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, like I'm not, and I want to be clear, like I'm not sweating anything. Like, this is a natural, it's already a natural thing. Like we've seen that the other side of the house has gone down. The showmance has gone down in popularity. And I think without me campaigning, Danielle will still probably go up on the block, or at least she will, be somebody that people want to vote for, to evict. I'm just campaigning to have fun with it. Like, I'm not trying to say this season sucks or it will suck. And like, seriously, because I have a bone to pick with Brent about this, because he's trying to tell people that like, they have no right to not enjoy something. And if you're not enjoying what you're seeing, that's fine. And I like, like, you have every right to not enjoy what you're seeing. And I don't think that means you should give up on the season. I think that we will be able to enjoy the season as it goes on. And I think this week will be a part of why, because we'll get to see the power shift. And I think that'll be fun to watch.
Okay.
Let your voice be heard. Power to the people.
Okay. Put it all in the meme. All right. So Scott St. Pierre has something up here on the screen. Let's take a look at what he wants to show us. Okay. So this is a meme from Stacked in FL. Biscuit, tell us if you approve this or not. So, all right. The care package is a 3-part plan of the care package. Send it to Scott. Mission accomplished. Part 2 of this plan is have nots need to be Shelby, Alex, and then Danielle. Okay. Are you on board with that, Biscuit?
I don't care about Shelby.
I did vote for have-nots this week, which all is right. Like, I never vote on anything, but that was not how I voted.
And then Stacked in FL says, no, the America's nominee should be Shelby.
Because, yeah, this is the person that won't listen to my math.
Okay, so Biscuit says, no way. No, not going to work on this. This is a very complicated. Math. This isn't a meme. This is a novel.
I mean, to be fair, it is close.
This is like a whole pamphlet of why this is like a timeshare, not necessarily of like, I'm going to really think this over. Like, I need to go home. I need to go talk to my wife about this. I really, you're making a lot of compelling arguments, but I just need to, can I sleep on it on this vote? It's too much information stacked. Tyron, keep your memes shorter than this.
Oh, they are. Did you see my Scott for care package meme?
No, somebody needs to send it to me. I need to be copied on these memes.
It's pinned to my Twitter.
So that I know. Okay. So let's see, Scott, could you bring that up when you get a chance? So I could see the meme that Taryn, and then, so this is a meme that you worked on with your meme maker.
Yes. I described the whole concept to him and he created the
meme. So what do you do? Do you talk on the phone or you just email what it's going to be? How does it work?
It was just email.
And is there any pushback? Is there any sort of like, does the meme maker say to you, like, I can't do this, Taryn, you're asking too much?
No, the meme maker obeys my every word.
Okay.
Hey, and so far, so good. Scott did indeed get the care package. So Taryn's meme maker, one for one.
Why did you want Scott to get the care package?
Because it was important for him to have it so that he could prevent the veto from being something like a diamond power veto, which would put one of his allies on the block.
Alex, does Taryn consult with you on who should get the power of the meme, or is he just acting independently without your counsel?
Yeah, it's Taryn's meme maker, so nobody even bothered to, you know.
But he doesn't like text you. Like, what do you think? What do you think?
I knew Alex's opinion.
You know, you already know what Alex wants to do. Yeah.
I do feel like Taryn's like downloading my personality and getting better at podcasting every month.
Is that what it is?
It's worrisome.
Okay. All right. So this is the Taryn meme that went out earlier today. It's time to stop the pagonging. Give Scott the veto. And so, and you had a hashtag Scott for ACP.
Yeah.
Yep. Short, sweet, to the point. Nice little graphics in there.
Okay. He's got a survivor buff on.
That was
the meme makers.
Trying to maybe even convince some people who don't care about this thing to maybe get involved for whatever reason. Yeah. You never know.
Let me see. How many people retweeted out the guy? So not a lot of mileage yet on the meme, but how early in the process did you get that going?
Yeah, I was like halfway through the voting after it had already started.
Okay, so you don't have a meme up yet for Danielle for the third nominee?
Not yet. I haven't come up with the concept yet.
This is the art of the meme.
Because I don't want to just make it like text. Like, again, like, I want to have fun with it. I don't have any actual vested interest in much of the season at all. So I just want to like make funny jokes.
Well, okay. I know some people are hoping we do something involving puppies, but I don't know that we should go that route.
Why? What about puppies?
Might be dirty pool. You haven't heard this story, Rob?
Oh, no. I read something this show. She had a dog that committed suicide.
Yes.
Supposedly.
Well, it basically wouldn't eat, and people are upset because she didn't take it to the vet, knowing that it didn't eat.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. I do get both sides of the argument. Like, she's saying, like, I couldn't afford the vet, but it's like, but you didn't, did you even go to like find out cost? And it's like, you did buy the dog. You didn't like find the dog. So. It's dicey. I get why she's dropping.
I say don't go. Look, when they go low, we go high with these memes, Taryn. You don't need to get into that.
I would not even go anywhere near that.
Yeah. Not touching that one with
We don't need that. We don't need to go Corey's goat on this one.
Yeah, not touching that one with your exit poll.
Yeah.
Again, like I'm into having fun with it, and I'm not into dragging anyone. I don't want any negative campaigns. Like, I don't want to campaign against
people. Right. We don't need the personal attacks. Just keep it. Yeah. Let's keep it above the covers.
Shane and Danielle went over the top, under the covers.
I wish I had that as my ringtone. That'd be great. All right. Let's get into some of the questions here about where we stand right now on the BBOTT, if you're ready, Scott. Let's go ahead and fire it up. Jennifer. Okay. Scenario. Chrissy and Neely are up. America puts up Danny. POV picks are Shane and Justin. And Shane wins POV. What happens then if Justin and Shane both win the POV? Okay. So if there's two people... I guess does one not use the veto, Taryn?
What's the question?
I guess
like,
because Justin and Shane would both want to take Danny down off the block. Is that is it because they have three people they want to take off the block? I guess presumably, but two vetoes get one.
Well, if Shane was playing in the veto and won it, he would take if Danielle was on the block, he would take Danielle off and. Justin would probably leave it the same.
Yeah.
He might take Neely down, but then Jason goes up and Jason probably goes home.
Yeah,
if
it's a
up,
very
so.
Specific hypothetical. We don't need to go too
very
far
unlikely.
Down. We'll worry about that on Sunday night if it happens on the happy hour. Okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk to Kyle, who says, if Danielle goes up as America's nom, would it be best for Scott to choose the boomerang veto? Alex, your thought on this?
I still think the double veto is the better play because they could like, you know, if Shane won the boomerang veto, he can do a lot of damage. He can take down Danielle. He's safe. And he can take down, say, Chrissy. And then, you know, Scott is left with not many options. I mean, I guess he puts up Jason and Justin, but then like, you know, Scott wants to work with Justin. It does a lot of damage there. So I still think the double veto is always going to be the safer play because it does the least to disrupt what is already his HOH.
Yeah, with the boomerang veto, Danielle could win it and then actually be able to save both herself and Shane, as opposed to the double veto where she can only save herself and Shane will be vulnerable. And if Danielle wins one of the double vetoes and Shane doesn't win the other one, then Shane will be going home instead of her.
Okay.
Right, yeah, because like that boomerang veto, she's like, I'll save myself, and then if he puts up Shane, then she saves Shane again, right? And that, I assume that would be how it works.
Well, Danielle wouldn't be replaced, so she would save herself and then just other half.
And when does that decision get locked in? Tonight,
which one?
Tomorrow? The veto.
The veto is chosen after the players are picked, I believe.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, so we got a ways.
Fat Tyson Apostle says, by next Wednesday, who will have had the better week, Scott or Ken Bone? I mean, Ken Bone, I think, is going to be one of the great tragic figures in the history of this country. I think that Ken Bone, I can't wait for the 30 for 30, Alex, of this guy who 1 week ago right now was sitting at home, was a nobody, was going to the presidential debate, sat at one of the craziest debates, the craziest debate in the history of politics, and then became a... internet sensation overnight, became famous beyond his wildest expectations, and now mired in scandal, only 5 days away from when anybody had ever heard about him.
Yeah, I'm with you. Although for it to, you know, it'd be a great 30 for 30, although they always find a way to like loosely tie a thing into sports. So maybe like, I don't know if he has a Reddit comment about a game he watched or something that
they can
make.
Yeah, we gotta find out who his sports team is.
He flew too close to the sun, Rob.
Flew too close to the sun. Yeah, you can't, it's too crazy. It's too crazy. I hope it's just a soft landing for Ken Bone. Got too big too fast. That nobody's
weak. Scott's weak, it's early.
Can compare
still early,
to
so
Ken
we'll
Bone.
See.
Nobody's weak. All right. This is from Robot Taryn. Is this a new person on Twitter, Taryn?
Yes, I have two novelty accounts now.
Wow, Robot right? Taryn. Now, isn't this a little bit that, you know, what is this? Superfluous? What's the right word?
Redundant?
Redundant, yes. Good word. Good job.
Next up, verification.
Shouldn't we have human Taryn?
That doesn't make for good photoshops though.
Yeah. So. Robot Taryn says, is human Taryn even capable of objectivity anymore since it's clear that he favors the ball crushers? Are those ball smashers?
Ball smashers.
Ball smashers.
Do you favor the ball smashers?
Okay, here's what I'll let everyone in on this. You're free to believe whatever you want. I am not on anyone's team. I do not. I'm not actually in love with Alex. I am anti-voting. And so I am always going to campaign to counteract whatever influence America has put into the game. So that's why I am counteracting the disadvantages that the plastics or the ball smashers have received. If they start to receive too much help from America, I'm going to campaign against them. That's just how it's going to go. So
yeah, Tara, I'm with you, but it's adorable that you think people will believe that.
Oh, well, of course they won't.
You had a line this summer.
I'm in love with Jason after.
You said I think it was during one of the happy hours this summer. You said that I always root for the best player in any season. That's why I root for Derek. That's why I root for Dan. I root for the person who is the best player in any given season. And that's why I want them to win.
Yeah. But so. Right. Yeah, right.
You can go back and check the records, check the tape.
Pulling those receipts.
No, what I'm saying is that I don't care about them on a personal level. I have no vested interest. This isn't the game of Big Brother. This is the game of I'm trying to give them a game in which they can play. So that I can see an actual game being played to the most that it can be played in this kind of season.
Ultimately, yeah, Taren just looks at these people as one, as like a sequence of ones and zeros. He's just trying to find the best sequence available.
Right.
But if the outcome that you want to have happen happens, doesn't that make you the winner of this season? If you've used your influence?
You're outing me.
Yes.
Well, I mean, isn't America always going to be the winner this season?
Well, I don't know. Well,
everyone's going to feel like a winner, but some people will.
Yeah.
I think I lose no matter what because I'm always going to be trying to counter what America's doing. Yeah. So.
Yep. That's
but
the problem.
But I'm going to have fun. I'm going to have fun doing
it. Shut up.
So.
You're trying to flex your muscle this whole season.
We don't want to hear it.
Okay. All right.
I'm just trying to have fun, Rob. I don't know why you keep making fun of me.
I'm not making fun. I'm having fun talking about this. This is great.
You're on the side of the people that are making fun of me and trying to discredit my analysis. So.
Look, I don't care so much what happens on the season. I'm just trying to have fun podcasts. That's where I win. I ultimately don't care how the season plays out. I care about if we have fun talking about it.
Stop being so subjectively objective.
Well, I always have fun talking about it.
All right. Edmo says, was giving the care package to Scott good to boost the LNC ego? All right. So was that important to boost the late night crew ego, Alex?
It definitely helps. And, you know, it is funny to see the two different sides react differently psychologically. You know, you've got justification on both sides, like Scott and Alex, like Alex. Oh, thank God. Like, I guess we finally maybe we're finally starting to get some support out there. Maybe we're not like totally doomed in this game. Like, thank God. And then on the other side, they're like, This doesn't prove anything. If anything, this is proof America likes us because they've given him nothing. This is worthless. Like, Chrissy is still, America is my ride or die. Like, it's so crazy.
Yeah.
She thinks she's in an alliance with America, like just her and all of us.
America. Okay.
Bless
her soul.
Let's
go to Chris Erickson. How should the pro ball smasher votes vote given the double veto ACP? All right. Well, the America's care package, is this the next one, or are we talking about the care package that Scott already got?
Are they saying who should they nominate?
I'm not sure. Let me read the question again. How should the pro ball smasher voters vote given the double veto? I guess for the nomination.
Right.
Well, if Taren is pro ball smasher, so he's saying vote Danielle.
If you're pro ball smashers, you should be voting Danielle. Or if you are anti showmance, you should be voting Danielle. Right. If you are pro showmance or pro misfits or whatever, then you should not vote Danielle.
All right. Well, so Alex, who is the opposition to what Taren is trying to put forth? What are they doing? Who are they voting for?
Well, you showed that meme earlier. A lot of people are saying Shelby, and it's really it's really for a lot of the same reasons. I don't think anyone is really trying to protect the showmance in the public right now. I just think it comes down to just the fundamental disagreement of what is the better odds. in terms of like, well, you don't want to put the showmance up because then there's a chance one saves the other, versus if you don't put even one of them up, there's a chance now with two vetoes that they could both win and take each other off. Ultimately, both are under 10% likelihoods in terms of what Terrence told me, but that's probably math that he should get into if anyone's going to get into it.
Well, it's hovering around 10% either
way. So drastically underqualified. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. We'll save that for the 538 OTT to get into in that scenario. So I didn't read the whole pamphlet from Stacked in FL, but hasn't Shelby had a bad enough week with Cracklegate? Does she deserve to go up on the block, Alex?
I'm not the right person to ask because I like Shelby more than most people. Most people really don't like her.
Is it just because Jason doesn't like her? Is that why people want to put her on the block?
Well, she's got a very, you know,
and because she didn't know who Big Jeff was.
Oh, I didn't watch your season.
Don't worry about it.
Well, that's an example of, I think, part of, like, she has no filter. She says whatever she thinks. And for me, as someone who watches so much feeds, that's fun. I like the spontaneousness and the unpredictability of what might come out of Shelby's mouth. But if you're somebody that's bothered by some of the things that she says without thinking about it, then I can understand why she's beginning to rub people the wrong way, too.
Okay. Taryn, are there any third party candidates trying to get America to vote a different way than either Danielle or Shelby?
Not as far as I'm aware. It seems
seen a couple Morgans out there.
Morgans.
For people that really are anti, you know, like I've seen people saying like the showmance, the sisters are the, you know, best showmance in the house. You need to put Morgan on the block and stuff like that. But I do not condone this behavior.
Well, it's funny because I feel like the people who are nominating Shelby are trying to do it to get the showmance out. But I feel like Morgan would actually be a better, again, using flawed logic still, and flawed math, it would, at least Morgan would have a better shot at winning power veto than Shelby would. So it just doesn't make sense all around.
Alex, has Brent weighed in with who he is endorsing to go up on the block this week?
Not that I have
looking
seen
at his Twitter, he
yet.
Was very heavily in the care package crusade. Give Scott the care package, and his logic was save the good care packages for people we care about.
Right? Isn't it funny how sometimes like people will coincide at the same result for entirely different reasons?
Yeah,
like, plenty of people were voting for Scott because they wanted to see Scott get the care package, and arguably even more people were voting for Scott because they wanted to see not.
Yeah.
Anyone else get this one?
Brent retweeted a tweet from Coco the Bear on Twitter, who was retweeting someone who says Scott is putting up Chrissy, and Coco the Bear said, not if we put her up first. So it sounds like Brent is endorsing a Chrissy nomination, but that could be a waste if Scott is going to put her up in the first place.
Right. Put her up first. He makes nominations first. We don't get the go ahead and, you know, jump the line.
Yeah.
People I think people are beginning to overestimate their control.
Well, what's
over
the
this
timing
thing?
On that? Just so we know. So if when is the voting open at this point, or do we have to wait for the safety ceremonies? And then once the safety ceremonies are over, then does America get to vote, Alex?
Yeah, as from what I remember, voting will open up like Sunday going into Monday. And then Monday morning, they have the meeting where they pick players for the veto. They find out who America's nominee is. They join the two nominees from the day before on the couch. And then they go out and play the veto competition.
Biscuit, is that why you're in no rush to get your meme up? Because you feel like you have the whole weekend to sort of workshop the slogan and get the T-shirts ready?
Well, yeah. Right now, people are voting on the have.
I thought it was like the care packages in BB18 where the voting was going on all week, and like the MVP voting where then they would just take the third or fourth place voting. So you won't even be able to vote for Chrissy if she goes up on the block.
No, you won't.
Okay, got it.
Although I did see some people saying they were able to vote for, like, to click Morgan as their have not vote this week. But technically, according to the rules, since Morgan was one last week, she shouldn't be able to be a have not this week. So it's unclear to me if that's like, they're taking those and counting them as wasted votes or what there?
Mm-hmm. Punish those that don't understand, I guess.
Pay attention to our crazy, crazy, obscure, ridiculous rules.
Okay. PJ in Albuquerque, who loves Miss Alex more, Scott or Taryn? So hold on. So Taryn, the Virgin King has a thing for Alex.
He likes Alex.
Later, they were joined by their virgin king.
um, I don't think that he is into her in that sort of way, though. I think that he really likes her because she protected him last week and he feels very indebted to her.
Okay. All right. Taryn, you won't use your meme-making powers to save your QT 3.14 if she ends up in any undue harm, right?
If she plays herself into a bad spot, I'm gonna
then you're over
to get her out.
That she's cured you of your feelings.
The feelings that didn't exist in the first place, Rob.
Yes, because you have no emotion chip.
No.
Oh.
It's just outdated.
Okay.
No, I don't have one. I meant.
All right. Stacked says, does flirting work with getting Alex to vote Shelby? I'll flirt shamelessly. So hold on a second. So are we trying to Stacked in Florida? You're saying you'll flirt with Alex Kidwell to vote, to get him to vote for Shelby, or the Alex in the house has to flirt with Shelby?
I do believe they were referring to me in this instance.
Okay. All right.
Should I put Kidwell?
All right. Don't look. This is not.
I'm not so easy, people. I don't know what you think like my situation is, but you can't just. I don't just roll over for anyone. All right.
Yeah, and what is this podcast this is? Now? Where it's like, okay, where you have to flirt with the people on the show to get things that. Where this is not what we're doing here. Where it's not. This is not. This is. Shut it down.
This
shut
is what we're dealing with on Twitter, Rob.
This is
like constantly.
Stop. You didn't even know.
Stop trying to flirt with the live feed correspondent.
I don't know,
influence.
Rob. Maybe you should give it a chance. You should just let it go out, play out for a couple of weeks, see if it flips one way or the other.
Let me be abundantly clear. Do not sex them. Do not send. Do not offer. This is not what we're doing here. Okay? I've seen how
Rob's
this goes.
Podcast does not condone this over-the-top behavior.
I don't even want locker room talk, anything. Stop. Shut it down. We're not losing the podcast over this. We're not going down in scandal.
You don't have to worry. Like, our integrity is sound.
Thank you. Okay.
Sandwich.
All right. Laura says, who else should America nominate then? I feel like Danny is the only person people will get behind. Well, no, it sounds like there's a Shelby movement.
We don't know how big it is, though. There haven't been any polls yet, so... you know, who knows how big that movement, as far as I know, it's like one person that made a meme and a couple people that believe in, you know, bad math.
Well, Alex, how are we tracking the polling on these things? Are we just looking at the Joker's Update popularity polls, or are we looking at any other types of polls that are out there in terms of the, this versus this?
Oh yeah. I mean, I know I've seen, you know, I think all three of us are trying to check various places because Jokers, I mean, you know that at Jokers, you in different places, you get different kind of groupthink mentalities based on where people frequent, right? Right. So most opinions at Jokers tend to become somewhat uniform. And then if you go to Big Brother Reddit, a lot of times people feel the same way, but it's a different way than the people on Jokers. And also with like some of these like other online forums. So I like to kind of get a sense of where they're all at, even though some are obviously much more popular and get much more traffic than others.
Okay.
Yeah. I've been putting up polls on my Twitter. And those have been pretty accurate so far. I also check Jokers. They, in their polls section, they put up polls, where you can, it's specific to that particular vote. So they'll be like, who are you voting to nominate? And those get upwards of like 10 to 15,000 votes. So those have been very predictive so far. There's also Big Brother Network, BB Daily, other polls. But yeah, Joker seems to be the most predictive so far, based on what I've seen. And then mine have been 100% accurate so far too, but
yeah.
I will say Taryn's, his polls there have been very, you know, regular and, you know, He's keeping them well greased.
All right, Alex.
Yeah, I put them up consistently.
Alex, could I appoint you to be the Nate Silver of the Big Brother poll forecasting here? As somebody who is just going to take a look at all these polls and give me the electoral map?
Yeah, I could do that.
Okay.
Sure.
Good. All right. Finally. Okay, we got to get it. Now we'll have somebody that, like, that Taryn has his meme maker. You will be in charge of the electoral map going forward.
Yeah, what's that thing Wolf Blitzer has?
I don't want to say it.
No, it's not that.
Brenda says that Jason and Justin are okay with the showmans breaking up. Which one would Jason and Justin want to leave? Do they have a preference, Taryn?
I think they would prefer Shane to leave, if I'm not mistaken.
Why?
He's not doing anything for him.
Justin seemed like he had a thing for Danielle on night one. Is he over that, Alex?
Well, I mean, if you know, Justin's a very casual, free spirited guy. So I think it's the kind of thing where, yeah, okay. So Shane will be gone and Danielle's hanging out and I'm hanging out. It do what it do, boo. I mean, it is what, like, you know, thing popping off and that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Have we seen a more reserved Justin since the bathroom incident last week? Because again, that was in the long form version of the show. And he just, you know, he got naked, he got in the shower, talked about scrubbing, about washing, and it certainly was not received well by Morgan and by Monty. That Alex, has he toned down things anymore in the house, or he just really he does not care?
I don't care.
Well, I think it just comes down to Monty's presence was just something that was really grating on. Like he has talked about since Monty's been gone that, like, I just couldn't be around him. Like, he was just someone that, you know, his presence just really brought out the worst in me. And those girls always wanted to be around him. So I, by extension, didn't want to be around them. He's done the most, really, of anyone from either side in terms of right now, like, just, you know, talking to everyone, being social, being the guy that's like cooking food for everyone, just being naturally charismatic. And that actually had there was a little bit of, you know, just conversation last night where people are like on the Misfits side are like, you know, pretending to joke, but not really joking about like Justin playing both sides now, the way they kind of got on Scott for previously and have gotten on Shelby for and other people. And so then there was a conversation between Justin and Scott where he's like, yo, man, you got me. I got you. Like, I you know what they're saying, like that. I get what they were doing to you now. Like, it's cool. And like, we can move forward. So there may be like some beginnings of threads between like two sides. But again, like, nothing he's obligated to, nothing anyone's going to be like forced to stick to.
Okay. Couple more questions here. This is from Kelly Lynch. Where are Scott's hands in the photo behind Rob? So I have the photo of Scott behind me, Scott from BBOTT. And he certainly does have his hands south of where the bottom of the photo is cropped. So
later they were joined by their Virgin King.
Yes. So we don't know what exactly Scott is doing here in the photo.
Let's not jump to conclusions. He's just bagging the groceries.
Easy. Easy.
I have vest pockets, people. Okay. This is vest pockets. This is where they are.
Yeah.
Pockets of my vest.
Ball smashers.
No, it's not what he's doing. Stop it. Okay. This is from
Best pocket pool.
Yeah. Kelly Lynch wants to know, Glenn, will he be there? Yeah, most definitely. Glenn will be there. And Hannah wants to know, is GM bringing the chicken parm? As far as we know, right?
Oh, one can only hope.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't do anything to Nick.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right.
Nothing but good things to say about Nick Juhas.
Yes. Alex, you're not wearing Nick Juhas's hat tonight, are you?
No, it's not turquoise enough for all that.
Okay. All right. And one last question. This is from Kelly Lynch. She says, I think that Shelby looks like Mike TV from the original Willy Wonka. Any thoughts? Are you seeing this? Do you think that Shelby looks like Mike TV now?
Oh, I didn't watch your season.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. So that's what Taryn's going to say. He didn't see this movie. Alex. Oh,
like, well, I haven't seen Willy Wonka.
If she was
Wonka.
Mike TV, she'd have watched Jeff's season, though. Come on. Yeah. She did. Mike TV never misses a season of Big
Brother.
Have
you seen the resemblance? I could see it.
I guess. Okay. You know, if she, maybe the looks of Mike TV, but more the behavior of Veruca Salt.
Yeah, perhaps.
In general.
All right. And again, in terms of Gina Marie and Crazy James, again, I can't promise you that they're going to be there, that we have an email. Look, if my email ever ends up on the WikiLeaks, you'll see that Gina Marie said I'll be there. Crazy James said he would be there, but I don't know that Alex can confirm this. He was on the email thread.
Yeah. Yeah. Somehow it was included in all of this. And even Carol from Big Brother 8. So we'll see.
We don't know. That's why that with these things, I hate to ever say in stone anything is going to happen, because you never know with the reality people that like a bunch of people could show up or like, I know there'll be a show. Glenn is going to be there. Adam Pock is going to be there. Eric Stein and Jordan Parhar. We're going to be there. And anything after that, we have no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah, after that is gravy. It's Big Brother. Hope for the best, expect the worst, and we'll expect the unexpected.
Yeah, but one way or another, we will be podcasting about BBOTT in person on Tuesday the 25th at the Broadway Comedy Club, and it should be a lot of fun. All right, so what's the hashtag, Taryn? Is it your official meme hashtag?
No, that's outdated at this point. That was Scott for ACP.
Well, I mean, your next one.
Oh, I haven't come up with it yet. Yeah, you just got... Unless it's just like nominated.
All right, then let me switch over to Nate Kidwell. What do you want to do, Nate?
There's so many options.
Okay, and you don't want to go with
later. They were joined by their virgin king.
We could go. What did you say? TVK or TVK. What did you call him? That's pretty great.
Yeah,
the return of the king.
Good for him. All right. Well, this was very fun. All right. You're still enjoying the OTT, Taryn?
Yes. I don't know why you keep questioning me.
I just want to make sure. Like, I I'm so invested in whether or not you like this season.
Admit you're miserable, damn it.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying the season. Like, I enjoy campaigning, even though I don't like the effect of the votes on the actual game. It's been fun. And I really like a lot of the changes. I like the competitions. I like the mostly non-censored feeds. And I really like the live DRs. Like, this is definitely like a really interesting and cool experiment.
Okay. And Alex, you're still happy?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. You know, it is what it is. You gotta roll with it, baby. You gotta enjoy it for what it is.
All right.
Enjoy the experience.
All right. I'm so excited about where we're going with the OTT. I'm also very excited about something that we have coming up here on the podcast that we are going to begin our search to add in another voice to the LFC. And we're going to begin a season long hunt for somebody who will be joining us as we get to Big Brother Canada coming up in the spring. And we have a very fun competition planned, which we should be rolling out sometime next week. We got a lot of different applicants, and I don't want to announce anything yet, but the details are coming very soon on this. So be on the lookout for the search for the next member of the LFC. Nobody's going anywhere. We're just adding another voice to the mix, because Big Brother, since we started covering the live feeds, has become a 365 day a year sport, and I've just got to prevent burnout. We can't lose anybody.
Yeah. Okay. Who knew? I did not know this was going to be the WWE of social strategy games when I joined on.
Yeah, it's very exciting stuff. All right. So thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. I got to check with him and make sure he's not burned out from too much Big Brother. Of course, the next happy hour is coming up this Sunday, although Jordan Parhar is warning me of a big storm headed to the western front of Canada.
That is not proper.
Yeah, big storm. So we will see, hopefully, no interruptions there with Happy Hour this week. And then we'll be back again on Tuesday to talk about OTT coming up here on RHAP Proppa. So looking forward to seeing how it all plays out over the weekend. Lots of fun Survivor podcasts as well. Randy Bailey on the recap, Miles and I, fun voicemail show here in the studio as well, plus exit interviews and much more. All on Rob Has a Podcast, so check that out. Also, very fun News AF talking about Ken Bone, and I hate to say that we predicted bad stuff for Ken Bone this week, but I said at the time Ken Bone was riding high, and I said, look, there's only one place to go from here for Ken, and the question is just how fast does it happen, and we really sort of got out in front of this, and I really wish Rob Has a PR firm would have been contacted by Ken Bone's people earlier in the process. I think we could have avoided all of the melee over the last couple days. All right, so we will talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.